Hey, Mav Radio. This is Marty Vaughn, your host for today. And we have a really, really special guest here, Rob Little, comedian. Introduce yourself really quick.
Comedian Rob Little. Thanks for having me. Happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Spending it with you, obviously.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So you are performing at the Funny Bone tonight.
Yes.
And tomorrow.
One of the best clubs in the country.
Really?
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Like, Funny Bones are a chain. I don't know if a lot of people don't know what that is, but it's like the McDonald's kind of comedy, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's not a negative thing. It's like they're the top. It's like Funny Bones and improv comedy clubs. And I don't mean improv as in the sketch kind of improv. I mean improv is an actual name like Funny Bones.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like probably 13 or 14 of them across the country. And this is like one of the best ones.
I did not even know that.
Yeah.
You learn something new every day.
Something cool, huh?
So where can people get tickets to see you?
Off of their website. I think it's Funny Bone Omaha or something. I'm not sure.
Omaha.funnybone.
Yeah. If you can't find it, roblittle.com. And I got all the links on my website, too.
And then you'll just see your mug going, hi.
Super adorable.
I'm Rob Little. Super, super cute. So for people that might not know you already,
yeah.
What's your comedic style like? What can we expect from the show? That sort of thing.
I'm pretty silly and goofy up there, but it's like everybody thinks I have this style where it sounds like I'm just making it all up as I go, but it's not. It's obviously stuff you've worked on. But I do incorporate the crowd sometimes, which is my improv background. I used to be with Second City in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And so I like to do jokes. I don't like to make fun of people, so I don't want anybody coming and going, oh, he's going to make fun of me. That's not mine at all. Mm-hmm. I'm more about like, oh, this is fun. We're part of it. Like I'm trying to make it goofy and fun and... Mm-hmm. And it's just high energy.
It is high energy.
Pretty high energy. I used to be way worse when I first started. I was very Chris Farley-esque.
Like Born 20 Inches Long, that era?
That one's out of control. That first DVD, I've watched it recently, and I was just like, what was I doing then?
You can tell that you're having the best time of your life.
I was super... It's my dream to do stand-up comedy, and I never thought I would do it. I grew up in a town with one light in Michigan, real tiny town, and we didn't live anywhere near it, so even going to the light was like a big deal growing up. And then I went to college.
Going
to
your Sunday best, going to the light.
Right? We get to see the high school. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
And then after I went to college and I got a computer science degree and moved to Detroit and was working for IBM, and I moved right next to the biggest club in Michigan, which happened to be the same club Tim Allen got his start at.
Which is?
Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle.
Okay.
Sinbad started there. Dave Coulier started there. Like a bunch of, yeah, there was a bunch of big guys. Sorry about that.
That's
So I didn't even know. I just saw I was in a bar and I saw they had passes to like come check out an open mic. And I was like, oh my God, it's literally right next to like two blocks from where I lived. So I started going and I just became a regular there and then met a guy that taught a class and I took the class. And next thing I know, I'm doing it. March 8th, 1998 was my first time on stage.
Wow.
I'll never forget.
That's
it's like
so
my
cool.
reborn.
You should get a tattooed on your face.
Mm-hmm. I celebrated every year. I loved it.
That's so cool. It's like a different birthday.
Yeah. My real birthday sucks. It's Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Jesus.
Oh, how unfortunate. So you said you used to work at IBM.
Yeah.
How did you transition from computer programming to comedy?
Well, where I grew, like, and this is going to make me sound old to you, but like the internet was all kind of brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Like nobody, so it was exciting. And I thought, well, this is the only thing that's going to get me out of my town. And so that's what did it. And then I've always like in my, oh, this is funny. Somebody just brought this to my attention. In our high school yearbook, you know how you make like predictions of where you'll be one day?
Yeah.
And in mine, I wrote, I'm going to go to college and get my computer degree. And then I'm going to be the best stand-up comedian I can be.
No way.
And it's exactly what I did. Exactly. Which is pretty cool.
That
follow
is so
your dreams.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you were in Michigan working on computers.
Yep.
Decided you wanted to be a comedian. Where did you go from there?
I took a class, as I said, and then I think I was just doing open mics. I was also at Second City doing improv, so I was honing
Which
both skills.
Where the greats come from?
Yeah,
really.
It's pretty
Honestly,
exciting.
Yeah.
I was with Michael Keys, from Key and Peele. He was in my group and. So they were really, he was awesome. He was so good. He actually transferred to, the Chicago one eventually, but, so it was cool. I was learning both crafts, improv and stand up. And I started to learn that I could do improv in stand up and then it's all me. And then
is
I was
that
like,
terrifying though?
No, it was so exciting. Not terrifying at all. No. Once you're on stage, I mean, if you want to do it, you can't wait to get up there.
Mm-hmm.
At least for me, that's how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was doing it maybe about 2 years, and I was at IBM, and I was probably their worst employee ever because I just didn't care. I didn't start there. I knew I had already been doing comedy maybe a year and a half, and I got a job with IBM, and because they just kept throwing money at you when you got a computer degree back then. You know. So I was making all this money, and I hated my job. I was a horrible employee. I was like trying to book gigs all day when I was at IBM, and finally I just hacked into their email system. And I sent out a company-wide email that went to, like, Europe, Asia, Africa, South America. And I told people they should follow their dreams and quit their jobs. And I'm going to be a stand-up comedian. Here's my website. Send.
Oh, my God.
I got so many hits on my website that day. And then people
were probably like, who is this?
Right? I got a bunch of, like, emails, too, from, like, you know, those kind of jerks at your work where they're like, company emails and for personal use.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't care, I quit, you know? And they wouldn't let me quit. They let me take a leave of absence, which is crazy. Like, and then right after I quit in my head, you know, the Detroit Free Press named me Michigan's best up-and-coming comedian, and I emailed that to them, and they're like, you're not coming back now, are you? And I goes, I wasn't coming back
absolutely
if they named me worst up-and-coming, you know?
I'm surprised you haven't picked up on this.
Right?
Bye.
So then, like, a year later, I moved to L.A., and I was out there for 10 years, and I won a reality show 1 year on CBS.
What reality show?
It was called Fire Me, Please, where they put us in real jobs, and we had to try to get fired as close to 3 p.m. without going over.
Were you like, I got this?
Yeah, it's all improv. You're just faking all day, you know? And
that's so crazy.
I won $25,000 on that. And then I was on a couple different Comedy Central shows. I was on Nick Swartzen's Pretend Time.
Loved that show. It was so
goofy.
Ahead of its time, I feel. Nick Swartzen's I think he's a genius.
We're actually good buddies.
Funny. Really?
Yeah, yep. He's a cool dude.
His party CD?
Yeah, that's the best one.
One of the first.
Were you talking about grandma?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. She flipped her vet, man. Just stolen stuff in the trunk. Honestly, that was one of the CDs that I was like, God, I really wish I should be doing this. Instead of, I think I was studying biology at the time.
Well, you were saying you wanted to do stand-up. Like, who are the ones that, like, influence you? Because for me, it was Bill Cosby and Eddie Murphy.
Uh-huh.
Those were the two big ones for me growing up.
I feel like my list is too big. I'm just going to
Well, you give a lot more options now. When I was kind of getting started,
There
wasn't internet and TV where you could see stand-ups all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you just had to go by the guys that were selling tapes.
So accessible.
And records.
Now. Yeah.
And so
I just saw Nick Kroll and John Mulaney perform Oh Hello from The Kroll Show in Chicago, and that was amazing. I've been following John Mulaney since the top part, which I think was 5 or 6 years ago.
Very distinct style with him.
Very, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very, it doesn't have to really delve into shades of blue. It's very, like, family friendly.
Yeah.
Which is very cool because I can listen to it, like, with my dad in the car, and I don't.
Well, with this kind of career, to me, I think it's good to be very versatile because you're going to do shows
mm-hmm.
where you got to be squeaky clean. And,
mm-hmm.
and I work a lot of cruise ships, so we have to do shows with little kids in the front row.
Yeah.
And you can't be doing blue stuff. But we'd get fired for that, you know?
Yeah.
So you learn to write, like, everybody kind of starts out a little dirty because that's just the easy stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But you get a lot better once you get better at it, you start to write cleaner and more
mm-hmm.
clever. And but I feel like I'm in between. I can go either way. It doesn't matter. I'm just goofy up there. And
it is fun watching comedians transition from that to that.
You
know what I'm saying? I feel like Amy Schumer is kind of in the middle now that she's kind of, like, well known.
Yeah.
She's like, she needs to be more open to more audiences, I guess.
She's trying to be more mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I mean, in the club, she's dirty.
Yeah, really, really bad.
Yeah.
Like when she, her first, was her first one mostly sex stuff?
I don't remember.
I don't know if that was her first special or her first ever, but yeah, I would say she's probably an influence too. So is like Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Chris Farley, Deanna, all the like obvious ones, super obvious ones, which a lot of them came from the Second City as well.
Yeah.
I think they all did.
Yeah.
I need to just head to the Second
City.
You
just go.
Can I just go and shout, Rob Little, I know it. And
that wouldn't
like,
get you anywhere.
That wouldn't get job.
You. You might as well just say Amy Schumer.
Have you ever heard the Jim Carrey commencement speech? Do you know which one I'm talking about?
No.
Do you like Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Obviously, right?
We have a similar story because when he moved to L.A., he moved his parents from Canada because he was taking care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the same thing with my mother. And my mom was in real bad shape, and we finally put her down. And she, no, I'm kidding.
Oh my God. For a split second, I was
everybody's
like,
face just went, what?
Processing.
Well, she kept peeing on the comforter, and we just couldn't take it anymore. No, she's doing better now. But I mean, I went through that for about 5-6 years of doing everything, and, mm-hmm. and it was really tough. And so when I read that about Jim, that he had to do that too, I've always wanted to like write him and ask him and talk mm-hmm. to him about it, because that's tough when you're trying to make it, you know, and you got that added, I hate to say burden, but it is, it's tough, you know, and mm-hmm. you're, it wasn't only just physically, it was financially,
yep.
you know, mm-hmm. so, but I, yeah, what's this commencement speech?
Oh my gosh, let me tell you all about it.
Yeah.
So it's, I'm going to totally, Maharishi University, I really hope I didn't butcher that, but essentially he talks about how his father could have been a great comedian, but he chose a safe job, which was an accountant, and then he got let go from that safe job, and then all of a sudden, like Jim Carrey was placed with taking care of his family. So he said that that's why he became a comedian, because he saw his father like fail at a safe job. So he was like, I can fail at something I don't even want to do. So I might as well do something I want to do. And now he's Jim freaking Carrey.
That's pretty awesome.
Isn't that so cool? Yeah. I listened to that commencement speech and then I went home and told my dad. And I was like, I don't want to do biology.
Is that what you're going to do? Biology?
I was going to do. Yeah, I wanted to be. I thought I wanted to be a dentist, I guess.
Okay.
Yep. I know. It doesn't make sense seeing me now. But yeah, I listened to that. And then I went home and I was like, I just really want to make people laugh.
Well, why not try it? You can always fall back on that other side. Everybody always says that, well, you got something to fall back on, but I don't care about falling back on, because I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how I felt about with computers. What are you going to do?
This is like your plan A, B, C, D, and E.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next for you?
Well, I just moved to New York. So I moved there in March, and it's weird because I've been doing stand-up 18 years now. So to just go to New York now, I've never been there before. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going cold, and it's crazy. I got passed in every club already. Like, I'm already in all of them now.
Oh, I thought you meant passed as in no.
No, you have
you.
To audition like, for their clubs. Whereas in LA, and it's so different in New York. The way you have to audition, and then you then you got to wait to start getting bookings and stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, most guys out there can't even get into one club. And like, I totally lucked out and got like literally into all of them almost the first week.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Like the Comedy Cellar is the big one out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I got into that one. That was a crazy cool story. And just I'm meeting all these comics. But I'm trying to get more TV is what I wanted out there. I'd like to get some more stand-up. I'd love to get a Comedy Central special. But when I moved back to – so I just moved there from Michigan because I was taking care of my mother.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no representation now. So I have to get a manager and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I had it all when I was in L.A., but I got rid of them all when I had to move back. So.
Yeah. So, you were talking about a new special, though, weren't you?
I'm working on a new DVD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Fourth one. It's,
oh, my God.
I don't have a name for it or anything yet, but I'm just, like, kind of trying to, tweak the newest stuff that I'm working on. Mm-hmm. So,
is that the stuff we can hear at the Funny Bone?
Yeah, you'll get to hear a lot of it tonight.
That's
or
awesome.
Sunday or this whole week, whatever when you guys come out.
So if you're just tuning in, this is with Rob Little. He's performing at the Funny Bone June 2nd, June 3rd, June 4th, and June 5th. You must bring a valid ID. I believe it's 21 and over for all of them except Sunday.
Sunday, yep.
Right?
And she, and I just talked to the manager. She goes, yeah, make sure they know it's a valid ID, not a fake on Sunday.
Wait,
and I
what?
I was like, all right. I goes, well, I don't care.
How dare you?
Right?
So 18 and over on Sunday. So if you're under 21/over 18, that's self-explanatory. I don't need to keep talking about that. So I know you're a busy guy. You have other stuff to do. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you really want the world to know while we have time, while you're here?
I feel like we're just having a good time talking.
Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, what is your – I'd like to know what's stopping you from going. Are you just waiting to graduate? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a good plan. You might as well get your degree and do it.
I'm only about a year out.
Yeah.
I'll probably graduate.
But you know
in
what you should do now is, in my opinion, you should start writing down things that you think are funny.
Yeah.
And I told you I would hook you up with my friend here that will probably know some places around here where you could go up. And like, it's going to be crap gigs. I'll tell you that already. It's already bars and, I mean, I've performed in laundromats, pizza shops, like all kinds of weird places.
Mm-hmm.
Just to try to get some stage time, you know? And you should see all the weird places in New York. There's a grocery store that does open mic. All kinds of kinds of weird things. Yeah.
Did you audition for the grocery store?
No, but I just, all these guys were
of course not.
Telling me that all these different weird things they've been doing out there. I'm like, under like the Brooklyn Bridge, which would look cool, but
that
I mean,
would look cool.
How do you get people to come and hang out and sit there
right.
and pay attention, you know?
But yeah.
Weird.
Interesting.
We talked about this, there's a nudist show in Brooklyn, or in Queens.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Please talk about
there's
that.
There's a nudist show where all the comics are naked.
And all the comics up. Are naked?
Yep.
Is it a requirement for you to be naked to perform?
If you're performing, you have to be naked, yeah.
What?
Yeah. I have not booked that one, but...
Well, you're already basically half naked on your second CD.
Yeah, I'm
CD,
not afraid to be
right?
naked. It isn't that part.
I'm not worried about it.
I don't know if we said it already on air. We were talking about it off, but I'm booked on I've done nudist colonies and swingers club mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. So that part doesn't really scare me, but just, I don't want to do it. I mean, can get in the good clubs. Like, I don't need,
yeah.
I don't
so
need
funny.
That.
Okay, I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
A selfish question.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really
Why wouldn't
relevant.
You if you got this opportunity?
That's so true. All right, screw all you guys. I'm going to ask him whatever I want. So, when you were starting, did you just, gather all the information that you could on your favorite comedians? Or, how did you get yourself in that mindset? Because I've been told that's bad, too.
No, that doesn't... It's whatever you feel comfortable with. Why wouldn't you... You sound like me. Like, I'm not just a comedian. I'm a fan of comedy,
yeah.
too. So, this kind of... I soak it all in. Like, when I go to the clubs, I'll sit and watch everybody because mm-hmm. I just like to see different styles. Or mm-hmm. maybe you'll see somebody's writing and you're like, oh, maybe I should try that way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A different style. Not taking their jokes, taking a different type
yeah.
of maybe incorporating different ways of setting up a joke or delivering it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Even facial expressions and stuff. Whatever. Whatever helps sells the joke, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I had something kind of weird happen recently. I was at the Comedy Cellar in New York, and I was about to go on, and Chris Rock showed up. So they're like, we got Chris Rock. Crowd goes crazy.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm screwed because I have to wait an hour now because you know he's going to go up and do as long as he wants. He goes up, and he didn't have any jokes. Not one. He just went up and said, what do you guys want to talk about? And people were yelling out topics, and he would just riff. 95% of it sucked. It was horrible. But 5% was really funny. So here's the way I am, and I don't feel this was a big deal at all, but a couple other comics were giving me crap for it. I don't care if it was you or Chris Rock, and I'm up there doing a joke, and you go, hey, I got an idea for you on one of those jokes. I'm going to listen to you. Why? What's your idea? Maybe it's a different route that I wasn't thinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the ones Chris were working on, I was writing down tags for him in the back. A tag is like once they do a joke, you end it, you add little little tags on the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was writing down all these tags of some of the jokes he was saying, and I'm like, oh, that's perfect. And then I'm thinking of it in his voice, though. So me saying it probably wasn't as funny as more his cadence and delivery and stuff. So when he come off stage, I'd only met him once. I did the HBO Comedy Festival once with him, and it was so long ago, I'm sure he doesn't remember. And so I reintroduced myself, and I said, hey, I got some jokes for, ideas, if you want to hear them. And he was real cool. He's like, yeah, let me hear them. And the first one he really liked, and then I got real nervous because he was, walking. I'm kind of, following him.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, he doesn't really care, you know? He just is trying to get away from me. So I got, super nervous, and then I was like, I can't read my handwriting. I don't know the rest.
Just take it.
I'm like, sorry to bother you. And he was like, no, it's fine.
That's going to be so cool, though.
Yeah, it was cool. But then I went up, I don't know, do you know who Todd Barry is?
Mm.
He's a pretty big comic. And
is he on Tosh.0?
No, he
I'm thinking of a different person.
No, you're thinking of Todd Glass.
That's
yeah. Todd Barry's another big, he's pretty big in the comedy world, but he gave me so much crap for that, and I was like,
for talking to Chris Rock?
Yeah.
For following your dream? For bettering yourself?
Well,
Excuse me, Todd.
Right? We're in the same business.
Yeah.
It ain't like I'm like a computer programmer going up to him to say
mm-hmm.
something, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, just weird things. I don't even remember what the original question was we were talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I don't
now.
Remember either. It's totally
but,
fine. Oh, that's what it was. So what I've been reading all these books. I've been reading Tina Fey's Bossy Pants, Amy Poehler's Yes Please, all of that stuff.
Why wouldn't you take in?
Right? Exactly. And then I went to the Second City and I was like, well, so how should I prepare for this? Because I still have a year before I can get here. And they were like, well, don't read anything.
Well,
what's
there's
the
a good,
of
Del
that?
Close has an amazing book on improv, and you should, I
is
mean.
Is it Funniest Man in the Room? or funniest one in the movie?
No.
Is it Guru?
I don't remember what it's called, to be honest. Okay. I should know that, I'll but I don't. But, I mean, that's the ones you should be reading because they're going to probably tell you to get it anyways once you start the classes. So why wouldn't you look into it? And Heather, my friend that's the comedian here, Heather Jones, I'll give her a little plug.
Yeah.
She is super funny, and she's in an improv group here in Omaha. I just saw it on her Facebook.
Do you know which one?
I don't know what it's called off the top of my head, but...
we should get her in here for an interview.
Yeah, I'll hook you up with her. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, my God.
She'd be great for you because she's local and she can give you all the ins and...
Yeah, that's so true.
And why wouldn't you just go and watch and get an idea of how it works and stuff?
Yeah, I actually tried to get a job at the Funny Bone, like being a waitress, and I wasn't qualified.
Why? Too young?
I don't know.
How old are you?
I've never waitressed before, 22.
Oh, you could get a job there.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. I probably
It wouldn't hurt to look into it. That'd be a good job.
Well, because I was like, because all these great people come through the Funny Bone, and if I could just get paid to sit there and watch, well, I wouldn't sit there. I'd be working, but to listen to them.
You think that will happen, but you'll probably end up being so damn busy that you'll be, because a lot of them say, I didn't even hear it, and they're walking right in front of you. They're trying to get the drink orders and stuff like that.
Yeah. All right. That's
but fine. It wouldn't hurt. You could always be a door girl or something at first and then.
Yeah. Well, I feel like a lot of the people that know that they want to do comedy but don't know how to get there do jobs like that. Like John Mulaney, I think, was taking calls at Comedy Central's headquarters or something.
A lot of, like when I lived in LA, it seemed like any comedy club you walked in, the door guy was a comedian. Any of them.
Everyone's a comedian.
Yeah.
If you walk down we walked down the bars through Wrigleyville. And we would go through all of them and talk to the bartenders, and they were all comedians.
Yeah.
And they were all studying at the Second City or Improv Olympic.
Really?
Yeah. Almost all of them.
One of the cooks at the Funny Bone is a new comic.
A comedian.
Yep. And I think he's going to do a guest set on Sunday, actually. So
is he?
You see how they do that, too? They'll get 5 minutes and go up. And 5 minutes doesn't sound like that long, but your first time up, that's a long time.
I bet. Yeah. I bet it feels like an hour.
It does, and especially...
Especially if your jokes fall flat.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, and you got to be comfortable with that.
Yeah.
It takes a long time.
Can I ask you to tell me about a time that you've totally bombed?
Oh, my God. I remember one time I was playing St. Louis, and I was sandwiched... They had two local headliners on the show, and they didn't need me, so I don't know why. I was at a different club, and they moved me to that club, and I was just a middle act, a feature or middle is what they call that. And they had these two headliners on, and the first guy did like 45 minutes, and then they were only giving me like 10, and then the next guy did another 45 or 50 minutes.
Okay.
So it was like, who the hell is this guy all of a sudden coming up? Like, it was a very awkward show, and I just ate crap the whole time. It was so bad.
How do you deal with that, though, as a comedian?
Everybody does. It happens. What are you going to do? It sucks. You'll go home and hate yourself till the next show.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what will happen.
Is it Late Night with Jimmy Fallon where he asks comedians to tell the story about the time they bombed the worst? It's on some late night show. Oh, you should look that up. It's really funny.
I DVR them all because I like to see my buddies.
It might be an online thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The worst one that I can remember was my third time on stage. Now this is weird because I've been doing it 18 years.
Yeah.
You should get, the more you do it, the better you should get, obviously, and it should be less. And sometimes you go, well, it's the crowd or something. And then who knows? There's all kinds of reasons. Or if you're trying new jokes, sometimes you think it's funny and it ends up sucking. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
But my third time on stage, it was another open micer, and, the lady in front of me didn't stick to her time, which means they tell you got 5 minutes. You do no more than 5 minutes. You do your 5 minutes and get off, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, do you have a clock or something that shows you 5 minutes?
Some clubs have clocks, but usually they always tell you to wear a watch.
Okay.
So you're supposed to kind of keep track. But in the back of the room, the club manager or something will usually, or the sound guy will give you a light.
Mm.
So... They'll either, you usually ask them, what kind of light can you give me, a 2 minute or a 5 minute if you're doing longer.
Mm-hmm.
I do about an hour. So I'm always give me a 10 minute light. So at 50 minutes, so I know, okay, I better start wrapping it up. But at an open mic, you got to really kind of keep to it. Well, this girl in front of me she did not care. And then the manager's flashing her. It looked like a strobe light. He's just hitting the light so many times. It's like she's seeing it, but she doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
She did 20 minutes. She's only supposed to do 5.
I'm surprised no one grabbed her.
He was so pissed. And then he came up to me, and I was already super intimidated, right? Because it's only my third time. And he walked up, and he's like, you got 2 minutes.
What?
And I've never, like, when you first start out, you got your material. So I didn't know how to adjust it. Mm-hmm. Like, what do I take out? What I didn't. So I walked up and just said everything as fast as I could. And it was just crickets the whole time. And I was just like, all right, night. And I just got out of there. And to this day, when I go back to play that club, I'm always like, this is my worst bomb ever. And now I headline this club, you know?
So yeah,
it's kind of cool.
Just killing it. I don't even know. Stacking money, taking names.
Yeah.
Headlining your start.
It's pretty awesome. First time you get paid is pretty cool. I think my first pay was $10. And the guy gave me a check, which was ridiculous for $10. Yeah.
That's so funny. So what, do you have any like advice for future comedians?
Yeah, just start. It's like, just write down what you think is funny and, you know, don't let other, I mean, so many people will go, don't do that, don't do this. Just do what feels good to you and what makes you laugh, you know? And I think it's cool to go and watch a bunch of comics and learn different ways. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
People say there is. It's like, I see why like Second City probably told you that is because they want to train you.
Yeah.
So they don't want you coming in with any preconceived ideas.
Yeah, or, which makes sense.
Yeah.
It probably helps that I'm only reading Second City books, though. So
yeah.
I'm trying to stick to that sort of thing since I know that's where I'm going to want to be.
Mm-hmm.